All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Rant Show. Got Dead Penetration here.
What's that?
And we are going to talk Halloween Horror Month. Yes, it's that time. Okay, so I've had mixed views on Sextember. Look, guys, Sextember only meant, and I promise, it only meant that we were going to do more adult visual novels on that month, which we did. Like, I did more AVNs this month than I ever have, and we'd finished several. Like, we have completely finished, I mean, even yesterday, we finished Sexbot. Holy shit. I didn't even expect that. I did get another request for Lust Theory, so I will do that, but I don't really want to do any more Sexbot. I kind of want you guys to explore that for yourself and see if you can defeat the evil Melvin, who wants to take over the world, and, you know, save your mother, teacher, whatever they want to call it, from him. I don't know. I guess she made him, he made her his little MILF slave. So, yeah, you want to stop that. And Alexa's not powerful enough to defeat that military robot that he has. Anyway, we do hope to bring you more AVN. And of course, it's just going to be at our normal time, you know, when we bring you AVN, which is usually on... Oh, don't need that. Which is going to be... When did we do it? I think I did it maybe once or twice a week. So we're going to go back to that. However, it's Halloween Horror Month. So what does that entail? First of all, guys, we're bringing comics back pretty hardcore. Why? Because I have tons of horror comics. Tons of horror comics. Lots of horror stories. You know, just things that I haven't really had a chance to do. And of course, that means we'll be doing some Evil Ernie, because you can't have Halloween without Evil Ernie. So we'll be doing some of him. And Spawn, because I know you guys want me to do some Spawn. I have a request for more boys. So I will honor that request, but I'm not going to honor it right away. The Boys is a very, very long comic. And one of the reasons why I stopped after the sixth volume is because they started getting really thick. And I don't have the time or the energy to read a 200 to 300 to 400 page comic book in one night. That's a lot to expect from a person. Especially when I'm not just reading, but I'm doing all the voices. Like, that's something, like, if people paid me, you know, use my Subscribestar or my Patreon, you know, which are still up, and you can just give me money right on fucking PayPal, I think. I think that shit just links right to it when you click on the little dollar sign on BitChute. Like, that would help. Like, hey, I'll give you some money for it. Awesome. Like, honestly, it is a service. Like, I've been told, if something's worth their money, you pay for it, you know? I mean, if you don't think we're worth it, fine. But if you do think we're worth it and you have it to give, because I would never, never want anybody to be like, oh, no, I don't want to force people to do anything or make them feel bad or anything like that. I'm just saying... That, yeah, if you feel like, hey, this is good, I kind of want to support it, like I did when I bought some records. Yeah, I actually still buy records. I bought the new Gunship, which is great for your cyberpunk, if you're really getting into that. Remember that Phantom Liberty dropped, and what I consider to be the best version of the game also dropped. It actually feels like it's supposed to. I love Cyberpunk now. It's just an amazing game. I think they did really well. Yeah, they could have added some things, but I'm not upset with it. And people drive way too fucking slow on the roads, but that's normal! Because people drive way too fucking slow on the roads in life. There's a truck going about 30 miles an hour, and you're going 75, and you go right into his ass, you know. I've proven that I don't need to be anywhere near a real vehicle after playing the game.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, anyway. So what are we going to do other than comics? Well, horror, of course. And what kind of horror? I don't know if we're going to do movies. I don't know.
I thought those were fun, as long as we don't have people shouting over.
Those were, well, I don't know. It depends on, things have changed a lot as far as the people that come in. I don't even really get people in the rants room anymore. Like, I used to have the open mic rants. There's just been a new hangout spot, which is cool. I could bring movies over there, and they would be all right with it. It just won't be in this server. I'm sure they wouldn't have any problem with it. It just, you know, some people maybe want to talk, so you want to make sure that
I don't have a problem with the talking.
I don't either.
It's trying to holler over the whole thing, and I've already seen it. Well, you know.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on now.
Yeah.
Not everybody's seen it.
Yeah.
Just because you've seen it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we might. If it's something you want, there's a comment section. I read the comments. You guys on MGTOW.TV, even though I don't respond to everything because it's a slow response system, it literally takes about, I'd say, it's not just immediate. When I say something on MGTOW.TV, there's usually a hold. And it usually makes me kind of wait for maybe, I'd say, a minute to 2 minutes, sometimes even 3 minutes. For just a response. Yeah, I don't know why that is, but I've been dealing with it for a while. So, guys, I'm reading everything. Everything that you guys write on BitChute, everything you guys write on MGTOW.TV, I'm reading it, I'm looking at it. Even if I don't agree, there's nothing wrong with the sexbot's face. I'm sorry, Toki, I like that look, I think it fits. You know, the first gen sex dolls had that same look. It makes sense that the first gen sex robots would have it too. But again, I respect choice. And if a person wants a not so cosmetic look, then fine. By the way, speaking of sex bots, there's also something not so spooky going on the first through the third. There's this technology conference, and they're literally going to be talking about sex bots, how to create an artificial partner. Like, these are professors and scientists and shit, man. I was just looking on my Twitter feed, and I found out they're having this big conference. All these professors are talking about this shit, and they're people that know a hell of a lot more about this than I do. So they're going to have lectures, and hopefully they'll be on, like, YouTube or something, so I can listen to what they're going to say and see exactly how they want to roll about this shit. They're even talking about sex bots for the disabled. I'm like, oh, cool. DP, you got a hammer? It's like...
Don't ask me twice.
Yeah, it's like...
Stick that foot over.
It's like, I don't need that fucking leg.
Sorry.
All right. But yeah, so that's pretty much what's going down. More comics. I don't want to spoil the horror visual novels, but yes, we are bringing back Fatal 12. I want to finish it this time. And I want to bring in something else that you guys don't know about. That is not really, it's not an erotic one. It's like Fatal 12, but it's also horror themed. If you consider Fatal 12, I consider a death game to be horror themed because, you know, we're talking about people dying in certain situations and, you know. But, there's that one. Not gonna reveal the name of it, but after we get done with Fatal 12, which we should finish, and maybe there'd just be enough time for me to do a few bits of it. And while we're at it, we're also doing some, yes, I found some horrific torture shit because, of course, we can't have Halloween Horror Month without some really fucking just, I don't even, it's the stuff that makes you, we've got more of that. We've got way more of that coming. Now, unfortunately, the series of novels does have mosaic censoring. I can't do a fucking thing about this. So I don't know if that's going to affect it. And if it does, then, you know, we'll just kind of maybe move on. But I think that the story is fucked up enough that it's going to not really make a difference if there is some censoring. And remember, that's just because of Japan. This is not the West. This is Japan mosaic censoring. There's nothing we can do about it. I apologize. but I can't do anything. Like, my hands are tied. So, that's what we got going. Again, more comics, some horror visual novels, stuff we haven't done as always. And, hey, this is the last day of Sextember, so guess what we're going to do? We're going to do a never-before-seen AVN that I think you guys are going to love and want more of and bitch about, and I'll probably have to end up doing it even though it was supposed to be just a teaser. But we'll see what happens. Okay, so this is not just me rumbling about. We've got more. We've got articles. Yes. So, what kind of articles do we have? Well, we do have some tech articles, but we've got some... Let's start from the beginning. Alright. So, let's see here. Oh, wow. We've got a lot. Alright, so the first one we have is this Oklahoma man. Now, this is a good thing, guys. Oklahoma man accused in a child rape case was arrested weeks after he faked his own death. So they got him. The break in the case came Sunday in Georgia after a highway patrol officer attempted to stop a motorcycle for not having a license plate. This happened in New Orleans. A man arrested after a weekend police chase and motorcycle crash in Georgia turned out to be a fugitive accused of avoiding a child rape charge. By faking his own drowning death last month in a Mississippi River kayaking accident, according to a Louisiana sheriff. Melvin M.D., no relation to the evil Melvin, but this guy's evil too, 41 of Tallahena, Oklahoma, had been reported missing by his son early on August the 7th. St. Charles Parish Sheriff Greg Champagne, yes, that's his name, said in a news release. Authorities were told at the time that MD had fallen from a kayak while fishing and had drowned. Damn.
What about Bob Spamonti?
The sheriff's office reported at the time that the search spanned 2 days and used divers, sonar, a small boat, and a drone. Well, damn. No body was found. Meanwhile, investigators learned that MD was facing charges of indecent liberties with a child and statutory rape of a child in North Carolina. Okay, and I don't care what you guys say. If it's a statutory, and I don't care if she's 16, the dude is 41. There's no fucking excuse at that point. We immediately became quite suspicious, and I don't care how things go down in your country. This is the U.S. We do things our way. You don't fuck a 16-year-old when you're fucking 40. That's disgusting.
Unless you're asking for... that's terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Well, I understand when people were 20.
Right.
You're like, oh, 16-year-old, they look...
Right.
...and act about as mature as I do. But now at...
You're 40?
I'm like...
Grandpa, it's not even grandpa, are you
It's not even a grandpa, it's you see how immature and incapable they are of making their own decisions.
Right.
And it's not a thing about, oh, well, they can't do whatever they want to do. Right. Well, they couldn't do that anyway. That's why you have parents.
Right. We immediately became suspicious that that this may have been a faked accidental drowning and death in order for Mr. MD to escape charges in Brunswick County, North Carolina. Holy moly, he's a long way from home, Champagne said in the release. However, we could not publicly expose our suspicions for fear of tipping him off. Detectives learned that MD had bought 2 prepaid cell phones in Boot, Louisiana before the reported drowning. Detectives worked with authorities in North Carolina and the U.S. Marshals Service to track the phones, but MD used only one phone and kept it only briefly, authorities said. The break in the case came Sunday in Georgia after a highway patrol officer attempted to stop a motorcycle for not having a license plate. Oh! You almost got away with it if not for that license plate.
In the minor law.
He thought about that... He almost got away from it.
I knew I should have
got that license plate. The driver crashed. The driver crashed and tried to run away, but was captured. The driver gave a false name, but was identified as MD through fingerprints, Champagne said. MD's son has not been charged. Demand of Pertuis, the public information officer for Champagne, said Tuesday. She said the investigation was ongoing. Authorities in Brunswick County, North Carolina, and Tift County, Georgia, did not immediately respond to queries about MD's custody status or whether he has an attorney who can comment on his behalf. Well, they need to keep him in there.
Lock him up.
The world's first humanoid robot factory set to open this year. Really? Oh, okay. The world's first humanoid robot manufacturing factory in Salem, Oregon may open up this year. Company Agility Robotics recently announced that preparations are in all swing. Well, I thought it was going to say full swing, but they said all swing. For the opening of this manufacturing unit named RoboFab. The Agility's press release mentioned that the facility's construction began last year. The opening of our factory marks a pivotal moment in the history of robotics, the beginning of mass production of commercial humanoid robotics, said Agility Robotics co-founder and CEO Damon Shelton. The factory can make 10,000 robots a year. In 2020, the company introduced a bipedal and headless robot named Digit. The robot designed and built by the company marked a significant leap in the world of robotics, notably in legged movement and humanoid design. Oh wow, it's got legs. Agility Robots next... Okay, hold on. We're not going to do that. We built Digit to solve difficult problems in today's workforce, like injuries, burnout, high turnover, and unfillable labor gaps, with the ultimate vision of enabling humans to be more human. When you're building new technology to improve society, the most important milestone is when you're able to mass produce that technology at a scale where it can have a real widespread impact, added Shelton. Now its 70,000 square foot facility will produce over 10,000 advanced versions of Digit annually. The company has set a target of producing hundreds of Digit robots in the first year after its launch. After the first year, it plans to scale production to around 10,000 yearly. Once fully operational, RoboFab is expected to have over 500 employees in Salem. I wonder how long it is till they replace them with robots. The robots will build the robots. Agility Robotics has recently refined and advanced Digit's capabilities to make it a more versatile and capable technology for various industries. In a recent development, they introduced the next generation of Digit, featuring a cylindrical head. Yes, I can pronounce words, rather. And two animated LED eyes designed explicitly for executing logistics-related tasks. Digit is designed for various applications such as logistics, distribution, and industrial automation. Its humanoid appearance and mobility allow it to adapt to various activities that need mobility and manipulation ability. The robot has been purposely built to function securely in human-made surroundings and is intended to navigate locations where humans work and accomplish diverse jobs effortlessly. Digit's website describes Digit as the first human-centric multi-purpose robot made for logistics work. Digit robots will also have a role at the facility, performing tasks similar to those as at Agility's customer sites, which involve moving, loading, and unloading totes. Not only are we building the world's first factory for humanoid robots, but we're doing so in the U.S., about 30 miles from our engineering center, which is fantastic for setting us up to scale quickly, said Andrea Campbell, the COO. By establishing RoboFab as a state-of-the-art manufacturing hub in Salem, Oregon, we are accelerating the development and deployment of advanced robotic systems, cultivating. There's no robot cults yet that I know of. Yeah, but soon. Creating high-skilled job opportunities. With the capability to produce a Digit at scale, we are poised to change the future of work for the better, Campbell added. With the establishment of the new manufacturing facility, customers enrolled in the Agility Partner Program, APP, can anticipate the delivery of the initial Digits in 2024, while the general market availability is slated for 2025. Now, probably most of us won't be able to afford a Digit robot. Okay, so Russell Brand has been having some issues. Rumble doesn't give a shit. Rumble says today, or when this was sent, which was 9 the 20th, today we received an extremely disturbing letter from a committee chair in the UK Parliament.
Yep.
While Rumble obviously deplores sexual assault, rape, and all serious crimes and believes that both alleged victims and the accused are entitled to a full and serious investigation, Musk apparently doesn't feel that way, it is vital to note that recent allegations against Russell Brand have nothing to do with content on Rumble's platform.
Yep.
Just yesterday, YouTube announced that based solely on these media accusations, it was barring Mr. Brand from monetizing his video content. Demonetized. Rumble stands for very different values. We've devoted ourselves to the vital cause of defending a free internet, meaning an internet where no one can arbitrarily dictate which ideas can or cannot be heard or which citizens may or may not be entitled to a platform. Mm-hmm. We regard it as deeply inappropriate and dangerous that the UK Parliament would attempt to control who is allowed to speak on our platform or to earn a living from doing so. Singling out an individual and demanding his ban is even more disturbing given the absence of any connection between the allegations and his content on Rumble. We don't agree with the behavior of many Rumble creators, but we refuse to penalize them for actions that have nothing to do with our platform. Although it may be politically and socially easier for Rumble to join a cancel culture mob, doing so would be a violation of our company's values and mission. We emphatically reject the UK Parliament's demands.
Yep.
And they're at $73.5 million in revenue this year.
Yep. You think about it. The whole thing they're trying to cancel him over wasn't that he was assaulting anybody. It was that the woman waited till after they, or I don't remember if it's after they had sex or before they had sex, if she should be wearing a condom, or if he should be wearing a condom. And of course, it was this is during the time when he was
right
all on drugs and
so this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
So they're essentially me too-ing his ass for something he did
years ago. And it wasn't even the way they're explaining it, isn't even the way it happened. You know, they're trying to set the narrative, and I think it came around the time that he was calling somebody out in the government, too.
Oh, yeah, can't do that.
And all the news reports, you know, all the news outlets did the same hit at the same time.
Yeah.
Almost the same dialect and the same wording.
Yep.
Yeah. That's why you can't trust the news anymore.
Yep. No, you can't.
That's all. Mine's independent.
Daily Star. I'm a 3'8" model earning hundreds from racy snaps. It was my boyfriend's idea. Caitlin Hellier, 22, is a 3'8" model who's pocketing hundreds per week with her lingerie snaps.
Ooh.
She's tired of being sexualized for free, so now she's making men pay for the privilege.
First, she's tired of making Keebler Elf cookies. Now she's tired of being...
I mean, damn. Usual. She's got... When we talk head...
Good.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Man, some people and their fetishes.
She was, okay, so she was born with achondroplasia.
Well, your head's more than full size.
Achondroplasia, dwarfism, a bone growth disorder caused by a genetic mutation in the arms and legs. But she refuses to let her short stature dictate her life. Again, let me give you the name, because I know you got... Hold on! She's a dwarf? Yes, the name is Caitlin Hellier. That's Hell as in H-E-L-L-Y-E-R. And that's Caitlin as in C-A-I-T-L-I-N, not K. So I'm sure you guys want to look her up now for sure. Growing up, she struggled to find clothes small enough to fit her. As she was fed up of choosing between children's clothes with Peppa Pig and Paw Patrol on them, she launched her own fashion blog.
Oh, yeah.
Caitlin aimed to use it to show other little people her fashion finds. As a result, she scooped over 10,000 followers online. Oh my god. And then we have...
Paw Patrol, Paw Patrol.
What in the... I mean, some people are into that.
What in the fuck? I don't even know what angle I'm looking... Oh, okay. You know...
It feels like you're fucking somebody with Down syndrome.
During the Middle Ages, it was a very interesting novelty to have a dwarf in your
entourage in your cabinet. They were considered pets almost.
But the blog attracts as many as 25 men a day, massaging, they wish.
Hey.
Messaging the full-time marketing student wanting to talk to her and asking for sexy selfies. She found it annoying at first, but realized it was time to give the people what they want. She launched a racy page as a side hustle in June, and it earned her around $320 a week. 320 what? Euros a week.
What's her page called? The Lollipop Guild?
Without sharing anything more provocative than lingerie.
We represent Lollipop.
Caitlin from Gloucestershire said, I was just doing the fashion posts, but I was getting all these messages from men.
Well, no shit.
My boyfriend suggested OnlyFans initially, and I thought instead of allowing men to fetishize me for free, they should have to pay for it.
I wonder how many of them work at Nickelodeon.
She added, the glamour modeling wasn't me at all in the beginning. I had to get used to it, but I've had a positive response from other little people saying it's cool that I'm doing it. The most important thing to me is to give other little people a platform to be confident in society. She was born with achondroplasia, the most common form of dwarfism, but it didn't stop her from living her best life, if you consider that her best life. She got into OnlyFans after years of fashion blogging on her Instagram, where she shares her favorite clothes. The platform gained unwanted attention, from unsolicited images from men to being sexualized from whatever she posted. Caitlin never thought to use OnlyFans until her boyfriend, Guy Pritchard, 32, suggested it. Now she never has to engage with men who just appear in her DMs wanting to chat. She can just send a subscription link. Guy looks over her account with her, so she doesn't have to deal with these lads. While some weeks she doesn't make much money, other weeks she can make up to 320 euros.
So you're a pimp. She continues,
sometimes I do pay-per-view videos in an outfit, but nothing I'm uncomfortable with. You have to keep the subscribers in somehow. She claimed her driving factor for all of her online platforms is to give other little people a platform to be confident in society after she grew up being bullied for her dwarfism. She added, why not cater to what you've got and show people you can have confidence with a short stature? Hopefully the more people see of little people, the less discrimination there'll be. I've had people from school try to follow me and say well for doing so well, when back 10 years ago they would belittle me. Okay, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. I've had people from school try to follow me and say, well done for doing so well, when back 10 years ago they belittle me. I just don't entertain it now. Then we have, I have 3-hour sex sessions, yet men get scared by my career. I'm perfect wife material. No, you're not.
No.
No, you're not.
3-hour sex sessions.
We're not.
With who, your fiance?
That's
no.
That's not what we're looking for.
A random dude in the gutter? Oh, you're a whore then. You belong to the streets, is so 2 Chainz would say.
AI companies desperately hiring authors and poets to fix their crappy writing. It's an open secret that generative AI is terrible at coming up with original and creative writing. In many ways, that's to be expected given its inherent nature. Machine learning systems typically churn through the internet and remix what they've gobbled up, often in nonsensical or uninspiring ways. That's bullshit. I've had some very inspiring pieces come out of the internet. By the way, Stable Diffusion XL. Grim generated a bunch of new pictures. You'll see one, you'll be like, oh my god, that looks a hell of a lot better than what you had a few months ago. Yeah, it actually looks like somebody fucking drew it now. Mm-hmm. They're getting to that point. And don't worry, we got some spooky pictures. I made these spooky little haunted house
spooky
pictures, so it's gonna fit. I made them specifically for the Halloween Horror Month. To remedy the situation, some of Silicon Valley's biggest AI companies are now resorting to hiring poets and writers with humanity degrees, rest of world reports. Which is an ironic twist considering publishers have been laying off writers and editors while making big investments in generative AI. Surprisingly, the goal is to feed their work straight into the maw of AI models to boost the quality of their output, a depressing new reality for those trying to make a career in writing. Like myself, which I've just given up, said, nah, fuck it. Experts suggest companies such as Scale AI and Appen both hiring for such roles.
Whose fault that is? Yep. The writers over there talking about, yeah, we want more money. Well, they got what they wanted. Yeah, they got AI to do it all for them.
Well, yeah, but they got what they wanted. The strike has ended.
Well, yeah. So, it ended for now until all of a sudden, no one's hiring us because
AI does it cheaper
and faster.
We've got a new situation, though, because the video game strike is about to begin.
Mm.
Experts suggest companies such as Scale AI and Appen, both hiring for such roles, may be trying to differentiate themselves from competitors with more creatively competent systems rather than those that just tell the same dad jokes over and over. That's not funny. Companies are also looking to specifically boost the skills of their AI models in languages other than English. Some job listings call for fiction writers specializing in Hindi or Japanese. Okay. So, yeah. We're not going to go through all that, but yeah, that's what they're doing. So, let's see. Gen Z. Lacking workplace skills like debating and seeing different points of view because they spend too much time on social media, TV boss says. Gen Z workers are constantly getting flack for their quirks in the workplace, and now the boss of a major British TV channel says their off-site lack of communication skills is because of their social media use, according to various reports, including from The Telegraph, Daily Mail, and Independent. Alex Mahon, I guess you just call him Man, the CEO of British Networks Channel 4, blames social media for Gen Z's shortcomings in the workplace at a conference with the Royal Television Society in Cambridge. What we are seeing with young people who come into the workplace, Gen Z particularly, post-pandemic and with this concentration of short-form content, is that they haven't got the skills to debate things. Mahon said, referring to social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, that often feeds users content they already agree with, propelling them into echo chambers. They haven't got the skills to discuss, and they haven't got the skills to disagree and commit because they haven't been raised, particularly with being out of colleges, to have those kinds of debates. To get to the point where you've got people with a difference of opinion to you, and you're happy to work alongside that, and there's a really dangerous step change in my view that we are seeing. Now, let me give an example of that. I was debating with a guy. I mean, he's a heavy metal guy. We have similar tastes in music. But he was talking about how, obviously, the former vocalist of Thy Art Is Murder, he basically got canceled and fired from his band because he disagreed with, basically, woke politics. There was a woman that said, She posted a picture of a baby, and it said, is it a boy or a girl? And she says, why not both? And he said that the mother should burn for that.
I'm not totally disagreeing with
him. I mean, I'm saying it's an opinion.
But there's a difference between parents having a say in things and parents screwing.
Yeah, screwing them up.
I mean, there's... I know being a parent's probably a vague, like, is this going to screw my child up? But when you go into telling them there's something they aren't, yes, you're definitely screwing them up. That's the sign, you know, it doesn't even have to be whether they're a boy or a girl inside, it, you know, quotation marks. It could be just as much, oh, you can do anything. Oh, Billy at school's really good at soccer. Oh, you could be the best soccer player. You know,
right.
Like, sometimes it's just not in the cards.
Absolutely.
Does your family have a history of being highly athletic? Probably not going to happen.
Right. Absolutely. But, now, yeah. What this was about, though, is the guy was saying, well, everybody that goes towards the path of bigotry is headed for destruction and it's evil and blah, 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 blah. And I said, all right. So first of all, there's a lot of countries out there. Russia, they don't tolerate that.
Nope.
Egypt, East. Do not. Yeah, I looked up Egypt. They definitely do not tolerate that. China, they do not tolerate that. In fact, Xi Jinping has made it even more difficult for people that identify that way to have a decent life in China. And
if that were ever such a thing right now.
And he said, And I mean, of course, and he said, oh, well, I've been around the world and I see, and then I went and I posted all the articles. I was like, I said, random guy on the internet's gonna tell me he's been all over the world and that governments don't endorse bigotry. Well, China,
my way of the
Russia, Middle East.
I mean, and you know, the funny thing is,
they don't consider it bigotry over there because it's just, we don't do that over there. That's not our thing.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, bigot. And
if you think these people aren't trying to indoctrinate your children,
they definitely are. They definitely are.
And I'm not talking about Egypt. I'm talking about...
Yeah.
The drag queen story hour.
Yeah, and more. Yeah.
The TV shows.
Research commissioned by Channel 4 found that people across the UK watch over 5 hours of video content a day on average. With short-form video content being preferred over live television. Short-form content made up 25% of total video for older people and rose to 45% for younger demographics between the ages of 16 and 34. Research found that people associated viewing short-form video content with a feeling of being out of control. When the algorithm is in charge, people say they feel emotionally out of control. The immediate dopamine hit fades rapidly and they aren't left feeling empty, Mann said at the conference. There are rising concerns about Gen Z's ability to adapt to the workplace, and some companies are going the extra mile to make sure they do. Big four firms like KPMG, PwC, and Deloitte have been offering communication classes to pandemic graduates to teach them about office etiquette, working in a team, giving presentations, and even what to wear at work. These concerns were largely aggravated by the pandemic because young people were forced to study and work remotely using virtual communication tools, which hindered their ability to develop authentic in-person communication skills. There's more! Gen Z loneliness is so bad that some young adults are spending thousands trying to make friends through gym memberships and social clubs. Lynette Band moved from New York to Austin during the pandemic to save money, but now 3 years into working remotely, she's racked up a new expense, friendships. She estimates that she spends at least $500 a month on various memberships and events aimed at making friends and maintaining connections. That includes a $2,500 annual membership to the social club Soho House and a $500 annual fee for the gym program ClassPass. That's on top of hundreds a month on the lunches and dinners out. I started prioritizing post-pandemic more of these clubs and joining these organizations where I can meet new people and build a network that way, she said. Band 26 is like many young Americans who have spent an important chunk of their adult lives outside the classrooms, offices, and other shared spaces where offline relationships are so often formed. This has led in part to what the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy has called an epidemic of loneliness. The problem is particularly active among young people. Over a third of Americans aged 18 to 25 reported a feeling lonely frequently almost all the time, or all the time, in the 30 days preceding a December 2022 survey, I should just say 22, it doesn't matter, conducted by the Harvard Graduate School of Education that was shared with Insider. Richard Weisbird, a child and family psychologist who worked on the study, told Insider that people between the ages of 18 and 25 reported loneliness more than any other demographic. This is the time where young people are making some of their hardest and most difficult decisions of their lives, and they really need support, he said. Loneliness isn't only a mental health concern. Social isolation can be as dangerous as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day and contributes to health issues, including cardiovascular disease, stroke, and dementia, Murphy wrote in a recent report. Insider interviewed 23 young adults between the ages of 21 and 27 about their experiences with loneliness. All but three say they're spending more money now than they were before the pandemic on social activities such as art classes and gym memberships to make friends. In turn, many said that they're spending less on personal expenses like solo trips or TV subscriptions. Many young adults, especially remote workers, are trying to combat loneliness by picking up new hobbies and activities to meet new people as well. Not having that social experience at the office shrinks your social circle, and especially when you're young, it's so important to have that group, Matt Scholes, chief credit analyst for LendingTree, told Insider. William Cabell, 24, doles out $70 a month for a membership at a rock climbing gym and another $161 at a jiu-jitsu gym in Richmond, Virginia. Cabell's goal with both memberships is to meet new people. In order to make friends, you need regularity. And I found that an investment stake is a good way to elicit that from both myself and others, he told Insider. If you pay for something, you'll show up for it. Software engineer said he's increased his investment in social activities after struggling to make friends at work. These types of activities ease the process of making friends more so than free activities because they tend to be more structured, he said. Basically, you're stuck together with everyone else there and forced into new social situations. Cabell isn't alone in joining a gym to make friends. The boutique fitness franchise Orange Theory Fitness Gen Z member base grew 200% from the beginning of 2019 to 2023. Gotta take those booty pics, right, ladies? Faster than the member base of any other generation. Amin Kazaroni, the chief technology officer at Orange Theory Fitness, told Insider. An increased focus on health and wellness and the strong desire for in-real-life connection, or IRL connection, are two large factors that are driving the demand and membership growth of this generation, Kelly Lohr, Orange Theory's chief marketing officer, said. Soho House, a club whose stated purpose is for like-minded creative thinkers to meet, relax, have fun, and grow, said in its annual earnings report, that Gen Zers and Millennials constitute the club's fastest-growing cohorts. Memberships to Soho House, New York, flagship location, costs about $1,300 a year for people under the age of 27. A membership to all locations can cost as much as, about $4,000, guys, roughly, for people under 27, with the exact price dependent on the location they use most often. Art Studios have seen an uptick. Barley Vogel, the owner and director of Studio Arts Dallas, says there's been an increase in younger adults attending the studio's classes. So they're trying. There's also a beauty tech startup here that says that she's having trouble. And they're doing Facebook groups. They're also finding cheaper ways to deal with this. We're not going to go through all that. But basically, yeah, they're having a hard time. You know why they're having a hard time? Why do you think they're having a hard time?
Because social media.
Not just that. That's one good point. But it's not so much you got one word right. Social skills.
Oh, yeah, they have zero.
They have
social skills.
Social
media.
Yeah, I know that.
Social's the last thing it should be in that name.
I know. It should be like, what was that band? All Hail the Yeti. Anti-social media.
Fandom, but they already have something like that. It's got nude bitches in it.
No. I was saying All Hail the Yeti actually did a song called Anti-Social Media. Something like that. It's really good, and it's pretty much what it is. That's exactly what we've got right now. Fucking anti-social media. It does not make people social. It makes people fight against each other.
Yeah.
So, Martin Scorsese is on this big fucking campaign now. I'm not going to read the article, but we're going to go through the brief paragraph here. Martin Scorsese says we have to save cinema from franchise culture. Martin Scorsese has made no secret of his feelings about comic book movies and franchise culture in the past, and he's speaking out again in a new profile with GQ. We've got to save cinema. Basically, Scorsese and Dark Knight guy, what's his name?
Christopher Nolan
are joining forces to restore cinema. They said that the comic book movies and all that, even though Nolan did Batman,
yeah.
They said that the comic
book... We don't want anyone else to do it. We just are.
No, they're... They want to go back to regular cinema like they did with Oppenheimer. Yeah. They want to do, like, what I'd say, stuffy old people films, but no, there's actually some really good... I know what they're talking about. They want classics like Raging Bull and... I mean, but you...
Indiana Jones before the woke people were in...
But that's a franchise movie. That's what I'm saying. We're talking non-franchise movies. Hey. Like, Fight Club is a non-franchise movie. It's a franchise now because it has some comic books and things, but when Fight Club first came out, it was just a standalone film based on a book. Like, That's what I'm talking about. So that's not necessarily a franchise film. Franchise.
But then I was collecting his movies like Choke.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
I can't remember what else he's got.
He's done some really good ones. But I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Because we're getting a lot more comic book and superhero. We're getting a lot more comic book movies, a lot more superhero movies. Video game movies are coming out the wazoo.
You know, they've been there the whole time all this has been going on, mm-hmm. and they hadn't seemed to do anything about it.
Yeah.
You're going to have people that can write a decent story.
Right.
It isn't a repeat.
Right.
Well, Oppenheimer. It's been recycled again. Well, that's just a period piece.
But that's what they're talking about.
And then they
consider
embellished
that
on some areas.
They can.
Probably.
Did you watch? Oh, because they consider that like one of the movies that they're trying to do. But Scorsese himself did Joker. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe they looked at these movies and they're like, you know what? We don't want to do these anymore.
And they got Joker 2 coming out here in a year.
I know
or
that.
Two.
No, it's coming out next. I think it's next year now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it got pushed next year. It might even get pushed forward because the strike is over. They're even talking about doing the new X-Men now.
Okay.
They're already working on that. You're going to start to hear a lot more movie news now because the strike is over. All the damn daytime, nighttime fucking. Unfunny woke co-host
assholes.
Well, you know what they are. Jimmy Fallon and all those people are coming back.
I mean,
to do the boring old.
Pandemic did anything for you? It was realize how unfunny tonight's show talk host have been. Aside from a couple,
yeah,
Conan O'Brien. Of course,
yeah,
he's
Conan
retired
O'Brien.
From that and doing his podcast.
And Jay Leno.
He's okay.
No, Jay Leno's funny. I still think he's funny. I used to watch Jay Leno's monologue every freaking night when he came on.
He was funny.
Yeah.
He did really good back when he was doing, like, out on the street sketches and all that.
Sure.
Oh, he is hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure.
But.
And the final thing we have, because, of course, we have... We've got more. We've actually got comics news, but we'll bring you that next time. We just have this small announcement. The Super Mario Brothers theme is the first video game music enshrined into the National Recording Registry. The Library of Congress has named the catchy NES Mario theme a cultural icon, making it the first game song in the National Recording Registry. So now... Out of all your favorite video game tunes are gonna start being put in the National Registry. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
But the very first one, and I think it's the most iconic. Everybody knows dun 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 dun. Let's not do this. It's not that one though. It's not that one. It's the original.
That was on the original.
No, but he just sang the original Super Mario Brothers theme.
Are you talking about Super Smash Brothers?
No. The original dun 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 dun.
Yeah,
dun,
just
dun,
that
dun,
one
dun,
song.
Yes, that, just that one. Yes, not the. Even though I think dun 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 dun. Yeah, but okay.
Yeah, that three.
Yeah, not yet though.
Panathon! Where did they throw that in there? Huh?
Alright. So. Okay. Alright, so I'm looking at what we have next week. So we got some articles next week and. We're going to try to catch this back up because it's October. We're going to start bringing you shows again. And I hope you guys enjoy this last night of Sextember because we're going to get spooky after that. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord and I'm out. I'll see you guys next time on the Grim Rant Show.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.